Now stay with the fan for this special program. The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
Let's go. 12 points in the second half.
The head coach.
Again, his speed. You can't teach speed. You know, he knows how to use it.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, that wasn't close. Not for a half. How about it? That was brutal second half. 110-87, Pistons over the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Not much positive to talk about. There's not a whole bunch of positives to talk about in this game. So, having said that, let's just jump into the box score right away. How about that?
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show.
All right, time to go inside the box score. Don't expect any great numbers here. John Henson, 25 minutes, 3 of 5 from the floor, 6 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 block shots. Giannis tonight, 30 minutes, 5 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3-point range, not a single free throw attempt in 30 minutes. Can't have that. 11 points, that's brutal. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 turnovers. Definitely one of the worst games he's had in quite a while. Chris Middleton, 30 minutes, 3 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3-point range, 10 of 10 from the line, 17 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 turnovers. Eric Bledsoe, 30 minutes, 5 of 10 from the floor. That's 50%. That's better than everybody else, seemingly. 2 of 4 from 3-point range, 7 of 8 from the line, 19 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, a steal, and a turnover. Sterling Brown got the start because Tony Snell was out for tonight's game. 26 minutes, 2 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3-point range. He had 4 points, 5 boards, 1 assist, and 1 turnover. All right, now the bench. Sean Kilpatrick got a lot of run tonight, 26 minutes, 3 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3-point range, 9 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals. 19 minutes played for Jason Terry, didn't hit a shot. He missed 3 shots, 2 of which were from 3-point range, 2 of 2 from the line. He had 2 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, a steal, and a turnover. 11 minutes from Tyler Zeller, 2 of 4 from the field, 4 points, 4 rebounds for him. Thon Maker, 10 minutes, 1 of 3 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3-point range, 2 of 2 from the line. He had 1 rebound, 1 block shot, and 5 points. Jabari Parker, 18 minutes, 3 of 7 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3-point range, 0 of 2 from the line. 7 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 turnovers. DJ Wilson, 8 minutes, 1 of 2 from the field, 1 of 2 from the line. 3 points, 2 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal. The Bucks shot 37.5%. That's bad. Detroit shot 44.7%. Pistons, 9 of 29 from 3. The Bucks 8 of 24. Free throw shooting, 23 of 28 for Milwaukee, 17 of 22 for Detroit. Rebounds, 57 rebounds for the Detroit Pistons. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw somebody have 57 rebounds against the Bucks. 35 for the Bucks. They got out-rebounded by 22. Hell, on one possession, Giannis was standing underneath the hoop. Drummond was playing volleyball with the ball from one side of the backboard to the other side of the backboard. That was about, what, the 3.5-minute mark of the second quarter? Horrendous. Assists. Here's a good sign that you aren't hitting shots and probably aren't passing the basketball all that much. The Bucks had 16 assists in the game. The Pistons, 26. Turnovers, 9 for the Pistons, 13 for the Bucks. Bucks points in the paint. I don't see if I can find that, but they pretty much got doubled up points in the paint, I believe. Points in the paint, here we go. 50 almost doubled up. Not, well, maybe not. 56 points in the paint to 34 for the Bucks. 56 to 34 points in the paint. Normally, the Bucks pretty good at points in the paint. Not tonight. They weren't good at anything tonight. This is my question. Do you think tonight was they're tired coming off of three pretty high energy games? Toronto, the Pelicans, and then last night's game. So do you think they're just tired and that's what happened tonight? Or do you think there's more going on? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Do you think this Bucks team is tired? Or do you think there's more going on? Pretty simple question, right? All right, let's start off with Kevin on the south side. You're first up on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show presented to you by Palermo's Frozen King Cheese Pizza.
Hello.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
I want to start with Thon Maker and John Henson. Those two guys aren't the answers. I'm sorry. If anything, Maker is going to be a role player that gives you like 12 and 8 a game off the bench. And if in free agency, I think if you look at the centers of free agency, you got Bogut, Ezeli, and I think Jared Sollinger, too, is another big body. I think we should pick up on those guys to shore up that interior defense. And I think that Milton and Bledsoe aren't also long-time answers. Milton's just too inconsistent. And Bledsoe, sometimes I have no clue what he's doing on offense, you know? And also, Kareem said that we're one or two players away from being contenders. And I think that next player is Devin Booker for us, because there's no way he's staying in Phoenix. Because Phoenix is just a mess right now, losing my 40-some games. And, so I think that if we could pry him away from Phoenix, I think that Jabari, Giannis, and Devin Booker would be a solid core with Brogdon and a center that can at least rebound down in the middle.
Can you explain something to me?
Yeah.
Why is he coming here? Why would Devin Booker come here?
Oh, to win.
Oh. What
was that?
Marco Bellinelli chose Philly. Ersan Ilyasova chose Philly. Booker today gets cut. He chooses Indiana to play for the Pacers.
But they have Oladipo, though, and Darren Collison.
No. I'm not saying Booker specific. I'm just telling you, all of these guys have been bought out, have had opportunities. The Bucks have had interest, and they've chosen to go to a different team in the conference. That's not as good as the Bucks and the Pacers and the Sixers. See, that should – maybe I'm looking into it. Maybe I'm being worked up over nothing. That concerns me a little bit. It really does. You got a chance to come here and play with Giannis on a team with more talent than Indiana or Philly, and they can't get anybody to come here and play with Milwaukee. Thanks for the call. That's concerning, folks. Haven't really gotten into that at all. But Bellinelli, I shook my head. Like, okay, maybe there's more to it. Ilyasova – I think it was Paschke on the broadcast, and he still lives here. And he still didn't come here. More talented team than Philly. Then Booker. I don't even know if the Bucks even called on Booker. I have no idea. But he's going to the Pacers, according to all reports. If we're all saying, oh, they're going to come here to play with Giannis. Oh, they're going to come here and play with the Bucks. Well, why aren't they coming now with these buyout guys? Now, according to reports, Bucks are in on Corey Brewer. Now, how much is that really going to help? I'm not really quite sure. Corey Brewer's kind of old at this point. But that's a frustrating deal for me. How in the world you aren't able to get some of these guys to want to play here over Philly and Indiana? It just blows my mind. Trail, you're next on the fan. What's up, Trail?
Well, no, Sparky.
You tell me.
I hope it doesn't sound like I'm going to overreact about tonight. But I guess to prove a few things. First of all, let me ask you a question. It's more things. What was the other part? It's not just they're tired. That's not why they're losing. This team has been inconsistent all year long. The only time we've seen some semblance of a pep in their step is when they had the bottom figures, for the most part, to eat off on the schedule.
Correct.
And everybody was jumping on Prunty and saying all of this, and he was the best thing since sliced bread. Well, now we're seeing that a lot of things that Jason Kidd said about this team are true. They're definitely doing exactly the things that they were doing with him under his tutelage when he was calling them out about these things, and they're doing the exact same things now. I think it's time that the this is the only way I think we're going to have an opportunity to keep Giannis. I think this summer, we are going to have to find a way to redo this roster all the way. And there's going to be some risk in that because you don't know what's going to be on the other side. But, you know, I know some people have said we haven't seen these guys play together or whatever. But I think Baron Davis said something last night that's really stood out to me when he said he doesn't know how this is going to work because a lot of these guys have the same skill set as far as Milton, Parker, and Giannis.
And we did that as a topic today on the Big Show. We played Baron Davis back from last night. Yep.
And I totally agree with him. I never thought Milton was a piece of the future. I was willing to give Parker an opportunity if he could prove that he could be healthy. Because he has a knack for scoring. He's been a scoring all his life, so I thought they could make that work. But if there's a way the Bucks can what the Bucks need to focus on besides getting the premier coach, whoever that may be, it could be an assistant right now. They need to focus on finding another stud to pair with Giannis. And then start to build your roster.
But you have to get somebody to come here and play, or you're gonna have to trade for somebody.
That's what they're going to have to do, Sparky. I hope that us as Bucks fans don't put all our eggs in the basket, hoping that because we got some money in a new arena, that we're going to be able to pry a free agent to Milwaukee in order to be able to keep Giannis. Because if that's what we're doing, if that's what these owners think that we're going to do, we're going to lose them. They need to put a team. They need to do what Cleveland decided to do the second time. The first time Cleveland played around, they lost LeBron. The second time, this time, if they lose him this time, it's because he wanted to leave. Because they try to put pieces around him and flexibility around him to make it so he's got an opportunity to stay. And they still got a top pick coming. And they're going to, they still got assets all around the team. It's a better situation. So the Bucks need to find a way to trade for a stud player to pair with Giannis. And then start to figure out what other players they put around.
Right. I think when you look at why guys necessarily didn't come here, you got a coach in Brett Brown that's respected around the league for sure as a head coach. And then you have a star in Joel Embiid, a possible star in Simmons in Philly. But you also have a proven guy in Brian Colangelo at the top of the heap. And Milwaukee doesn't have a proven general manager, and they have an assistant coach who's respected but has not been a head coach for a full season ever. While with the Bucks or anybody in the NBA to this point. And I think those players are looking at what is there as coach and in front office and are probably electing to go elsewhere because of it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I just, it doesn't have to be a splash name for me. Like, I wouldn't mind if they did get a big name, but they got to hit this coach, whoever it is. He's got to be a guy who can recruit, get good players, and he's got to be a guy that can coach from a coach's standpoint.
So, yep. I agree, Terrell. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan. Do you think this Bucks team is simply tired after the last three games, and that's why they got blown out tonight in the second half? Or do you think there's more to it? Joel, you're next on The Fan. What's up, Joel?
What's going on? I disagree with Terrell in that the Bucks have been inconsistent. They've actually been real consistent in their lack of rebounding. They're last in the league.
Yep.
And Sparky,
I've been all
I know
year.
You didn't want DeAndre Jordan.
Still don't.
That's fine. Here's the thing. You can't have it both ways. DeAndre Jordan's here. You would eliminate your lack of rebounding. You would eliminate your lack of rim protection. You would also finish. I get so frustrated watching Henson.
Again, you are looking at this for the current moment. You are not looking at it from a big picture standpoint of what it does to the rest of this roster over the next 2 years. You're looking at it for right now, and that's all you care about, and you don't want to think about the big picture. I'm looking at it from a big picture standpoint, and from a big picture standpoint, it doesn't turn out well. That's how I'm looking at it. For me, no. I'd rather be in a situation where I'm going to have all that money freed up to be able to chase after guys to come play with Giannis. I'd rather do it that way.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I definitely do. And Jordan hasn't been good when he's been part of a big three. However,
and he's another one that is lackadaisical from time to time, too.
However, his free throw shooting has improved. And if you can figure out how to get him here, he wouldn't be a part of a big three. It would be Giannis, Jabari, Middleton, Jordan.
You don't know if Jabari's coming back. You have no idea.
Figure it out. Because my point is
figure it out. Right. Exactly. That's what they have to do. Yes.
Right. They would have to figure it out. But, like, when he's been part of a big three, you're right, he hasn't been effective. However, if he can be here and be that guy to protect the rim, get rebounds, which they haven't been able to do. Seriously, Henson is spoon-fed at the rim, and he can't finish. He's got bad hands.
Yep.
He doesn't elevate. It's so frustrating. And they give up. They're last in the league in rebounding. If you bring that in, but then you don't have to have him be part of the big three. You just have the center position in basketball. It's either all or nothing, because you either have what the Bucks have, which is nothing, or you have something good. It's almost like fantasy football. Like, you have to draft a tight end in the first round like Gronk. If you don't draft him in the first round, you're not going to get him because that production is not there later. You can't have it both ways.
But Joel, hold on a second. You also can't expect DeAndre Jordan to be a fourth wheel on a team making $25 to $30 million a year, because you can't afford to have the other three pieces with him making that much. And therein lies the problem with DeAndre Jordan on your team. That's the issue. I agree. He's not a part of a big three. But the problem is you have to pay him like he is part of a big three, and he's not worth the money that you pay him. And that's the issue. Now, if I'm proven wrong, whether it be this offseason if he opts out or the following offseason and he takes $14 or $15 million a year, well, then I'll say, hey, that was a steal for somebody. Somebody got a deal that they could still build a run with him as a third option or fourth option, I should say. But I don't think that's going to happen. Somebody's going to continue to pay that dude a bunch of money. That's just how this is going to go. All right, time now for our shot of the game.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks lose 110 to 87. Time now for shot of the game.
Shot clock still running. Giannis backs off the right elbow. He goes right at Drummond for the flush, left-handed. There's that exceptional mobility of Giannis.
That was one of five shots made by Giannis on Andre Drummond. That highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. The Bucks, however, get pummeled in the second half, and they lose 110 to 87. And, amen. The question tonight is, do you think they're tired, or do you think there's more to the story? That's the question. Nice and simple. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. We're efforting trying to get Ted Davis on the show as well, so stay tuned for that.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, the ruler of taste. We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Bucks get him, I was going to say embarrassed. I'm going to go with it. 110 to 87. I'd say that was embarrassing. Losing to the Detroit Pistons in Detroit. Giannis with 11 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 4 turnovers. Easily one of the worst games he's had all year. 19 for Bledsoe, 17 for Middleton. But Middleton, 3 of 10 from the floor, 10 of 10 from the line, very impressive, but only one rebound in 30 minutes. Got to do more than that, man, at his size. Got to have more than one rebound. All right, joining us now, by my request this time, so he can yell at me and be mad at me, is Ted Davis, play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Bucks and the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good evening, Ted.
You hate me, don't you?
No, I love you. I do. I really, really do. But I figured there was nobody else to draw my sorrows with without actually having any alcohol than Ted Davis, my good old buddy.
Well, apparently every time there's a 30-point loss, I'm your guy.
Hey, so this is my question tonight on the show for everybody. Was this just a team that's tired, or are there deeper issues?
Well, rebounding has been a problem all year.
Yep.
And you knew going in that that was going to be a priority for the Pistons because that's what they do. And look at the rebounding. I mean, my goodness. I think the Pistons had
57.
17 offensive rebounds in the first half.
Yeah, they had 22 for the game, 35 defensive rebounds, 57 rebounds total.
Yeah, it's 57 to 35 in the rebounding. They just got squashed. Drummond and Moreland ate them up inside. And it was a flat performance. From the middle of the second quarter on, Bucks had a 40-37 lead, and then the Pistons closed it with a 16-4 run, and the Bucks just could not get a defensive rebound. And after that little spurt where they went up by 9 in the first quarter, they never had control of this game again. So you take what was a really good-feeling of momentum coming out of the Toronto game on Friday, and now you've lost three in a row. And the cold, hard reality of this is that as you walk out of Detroit tonight and fly home, you're closer to the eighth seed than you are to the fourth seed.
Yep, just that quickly. And that's what happens when you're in a battle with inside the conference that is as close as it is right now in the Eastern Conference, and you've got about a month and a half left to play to kind of figure this thing out at the end of the day. When we talk about this Bucks team and what they can do differently, I guess, going forward, I just don't know if there's much that's going to change or happen other than these guys just having to play better and more consistently.
Well, they've got to rebound as a team. We know that Henson and Maker aren't big guys.
Nope.
They're tall, but they're thin. And they can't help that. That's just the way they're built. That's the way nature made them. So when they go up against the Whitesides, when they go up against a guy like Andre Drummond, the Bucks are at a decided disadvantage. But it's got to be a team rebounding thing. All the guards have to come in and rebound. And let's face it, the Bucks really miss Malcolm Brogdon more, I think, than people know. He was such a steady player and a heads-up player. I'm not laying all of this on the fact that Brogdon is gone, but when you add the fact that Dele is now gone, Tony Snell couldn't play tonight, you've got a shortage in the backcourt, and tonight Sean Kilpatrick and Sterling Brown couldn't hit a shot.
Right.
So in addition to not rebounding, you weren't getting much production from those two guys, and they were the ones that had to play because you had injuries.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it seemingly goes. Now, Sterling Brown, he rebounds really well, I think, for a guard. He's always going to give you five or six rebounds a night. But like I said earlier, three rebounds from Giannis in 30 minutes. There was a possession there in the second half with about three and a half minutes to go in the second half where Andre Drummond was volleyballing the ball from one side of the hoop to the other side of the hoop to the other side of the hoop to the other side of the hoop while Giannis stood flat-footed watching him bounce back and forth.
Yeah, he was doing his Moses Malone impersonation. That's what Malone used to do. He used to rebound his own missed shot and pad his stats. I think Giannis is probably more tired than anybody else because of the number of minutes he played. He didn't have the time off that other guys had at the All-Star break. It was on a back-to-back. And, you know, as well as Giannis has played, if he had a night where his energy level was low, you can understand that. Now, we knew this eight-game stretch coming out of the All-Star break was going to be as difficult as you can get. And they're now 1-3 after the break. And these next four games are going to define what this team is going to do.
Does it get any easier?
Being able to move up to the fourth seed or have to settle for the seventh or eighth seed or maybe the sixth seed. Because, look, you've got Indiana back-to-back. That's the team that's right with you. You've got the 76ers
in between them,
sandwiched between the two Indiana games, and then you've got the Rockets. And so, man, what you don't want to do is go 2-6. I said at the beginning of this, I'd be satisfied with 3-5, but you don't want to go 2-6, and you certainly don't want to go 1-7. And these next four games are as tough as they can get.
No question. He is play-by-play voice Ted Davis of the Milwaukee Bucks, joining us like he always does in 30-point losses. Thanks so much, Ted, for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right, I'm getting even with you someday.
I know you will. I know
All
you
right.
will. Take care.
All
there
right.
he is, Ted Davis of the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple, convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank. Committed to proving uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
110-87, Pistons over the Bucks tonight. And the losing continues for the Bucks. They've now lost three in a row since that win against the Toronto Raptors on Friday. Next up, the Pacers on Friday. We'll see how they do against that Pacers team. Again, it just doesn't get any easier. You get a day off tomorrow, and then you got to come right back at it on Friday. And I'll be honest with you, and I know this is going to sound crazy, I wouldn't do a practice tomorrow. I wouldn't do anything. Nothing. I'd have them watch tape on the plane, and that's it. We're not doing anything tomorrow. You guys just have the day off, rest, relax, do whatever you got to do. I'll see you at morning shoot-around or whatever on Friday. That's it. We're not doing anything. Everybody's getting rest. Everybody's chilling out. I don't care what y'all do. I don't care if none of you hang out together. I don't care if y'all hang out together, but we're just chilling. We're going to kind of hit the reset button at this point. All right, defensive play of the game. Ryan, what do you got?
of kind of a drop step 1-2.
Former Marquette player here locally. So there you go. Highlight, defensive highlight. Play of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Ryan Horvath, other side of the glass. We'll get a sports flash for you coming up, and then we'll get back to more of your calls. Was this just a tired basketball team tonight, or was there more to it? Got lots of tweets to read as well. Plus, we'll hear from Joel Prenti coming up next, and we'll also check in with Gary Wolfel. All straight ahead. Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show, presented to you by Palermo's Frozen King Cheese Pizza with a half a pound of cheese.
Hey Bucks fans, let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's, famous for burgers, ribs, fajitas, and margaritas.
Bucks come up on the losing end tonight to the Detroit Pistons, 110-87. Bucks now have lost three in a row. Next up, the Pacers on Friday
night.
And on Friday night, we will start the postgame show on the extra stream, which, of course, you always get the extra stream link tweeted out and Facebooked from the fan, because we'll have Admirals Hockey finishing up before we get on the actual radio itself once that one is done. So the first 20 minutes or so of the postgame show will be on the extra stream, and then we will be on the radio after that, so make sure to tune us in for that. Also, don't forget, coming up tomorrow night, Merriman Social in Walker's Point, in Pittsburgh right there, kind of by Collectivo Coffee. We will be there tomorrow night. Bill Michaels, myself, Steve Novak will be there, I think. If he's not there, he'll be on the phone, but he'll be with us one way or the other, another co-host of the show. Malcolm Brogdon will be there in person from 6 until 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Stop by, say hi. Have some good eats, good burgers over at Merriman Social tomorrow night, and look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. MVB of the game, your Chili's MVB of the game. And get the Cajun pasta with chicken, by the way. Love the Cajun pasta with chicken at Chili's. It's my favorite dish over there. Let's see, where can we go? Well, there's not a lot to choose from tonight, is there? I guess Eric Bledsoe, 19 minutes, one turnover, 6 boards, 4 assists, 19 points. Eric Bledsoe, Chili's MVP of the game. You'll need to know that for Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning. However, there is no Chuck. There is Kevin Holden from CBS 58 along with Bart Winkler. Justin in North Carolina, you're next on the fan. What's up?
Man, what a horrible performance tonight, man. That's just atrocious, man.
You had to know they were going to be tired, and that was a distinct possibility.
Yeah, but after you got your butt kicked in two games that you should have won, I thought that the effort would have came out more. Now, I've heard a lot of people talking about rebounding, and I get that. Andre Drummond is going to eat. He's a beast in the paint. So we can, you know, pencil in his rebounds, 15, 10, whatever you want to give him. My issue is letting Stanley Johnson get rebounds. Letting Ish Smith had a rebound, an offensive rebound.
Former Buck.
And then a pass. Yeah, yep. Former Buck.
Mm-hmm.
Littlest guy on the floor, offensive rebound. That's just a lack of effort like we were talking about last night, Sparky. So you ask the question, are they tired or is it something else? I'm going to say it's something else.
Hey, here's a stat for you. The Andre Drummond had 10 offensive rebounds tonight.
Uh-huh.
The Milwaukee Bucks had 6 as a team.
And he had 5 on one possession like Ted Davis said.
Yeah, against Giannis. Yeah. Yep.
While he watched.
Yep.
Here's why I think is a problem, Sparky. And I don't know if a lot of people brought it up so far tonight, but – if you remind you to the end of the second quarter, that play when Bledsoe, you had Middleton with Drummond guarding him. So, I mean, that's probably a better pull-up shot. Then you have Jabari, and Jabari was the first guy in the locker room just walked away in complete disgust because Bledsoe decided to take on two defenders.
He took off his jersey.
Right, and tried to do some double pump, wraparound layup that had no chance to go in. That's the type of stuff that we're seeing. And I think you said it earlier on the big show when I was listening, that Bledsoe's a me guy. He's in love with himself. He's going to make the plays for himself. And sometimes that's okay, but we need to pass first option Bledsoe. And hence, like I said last night, not to be a broken record, but that's why we're severely missing Brogdon and Dellavedova. I don't know what we're going to do, but with these next three games, we have to show up. I remember at one point this team would play lackluster against the bad teams, but would show up against the really good teams.
Yep.
This was an opportunity to send a message to a team that's in your division that is chasing you from the playoffs and made a huge trade to get Blake Griffin. I just don't know, Sparky. I hope that we can get it together, man. I hope that they – I think maybe they need a closed-door players-only meeting. I mean, this is – we can't have Ish Smith grabbing offensive rebounds and Stanley Johnson and Bikes and all those other guys. Like, you get – I get Drummond. And let's not be so hard on Hinson and Thon. They are what they are. They're skinny. We know that.
Correct.
They're not going to gain 30 pounds
right.
overnight. And
yep.
Lastly, man, you know, all the stuff, and Gary hinted to it on the big show, man. All I don't see a huge difference, and we've talked about it before with Kidd and with Prunty. Let's stop the fire. Prunty stuff, we've already fired one coach. Let's just try to find a way to support these guys the best we can, and let's hope they get it together when Brogdon comes back. How much longer is it going to be for Brogdon to come back?
I think it's probably going to be end of March, but we have him on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, so we'll ask him tomorrow night and see what he thinks. Dellavedova, I think. Based on the report I saw earlier, I think Dellavedova could be back in the next week or so, somewhere in that area. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, how much Dellavedova really helps things, that's still to be determined at this point. Okay, time now to hear from the Bucks head coach, Joe Prunty, after this one.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner. Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, well, the Bucks, they lose tonight to the Detroit Pistons, 110-87. Time now to hear what the Bucks head coach Joe Prunty had to say about this. Rebounding has to come up. I mean, my God, you had 35 rebounds as a team. The Pistons had 57. Surely this comes up at some point here, courtesy of Fox Sports, Wisconsin.
We had a 9-point lead and closed the quarter at 32-32. Needed to get some stops there. Tulliver gets a couple of threes. Had a turnover, you know, that led to points for them as well. So not closing out the quarter there hurt. But like I said, the offensive rebounds were a huge problem for us.
In terms of your offense, what do you think has been the issue, not just today, but maybe the past couple days or past couple games? You guys have had periods where just things aren't working.
I actually thought tonight we got some decent looks at times. When the problems arose where it doesn't show up in the turnover stat, but we had a lot of balls where we were fumbling it. The ball was, maybe we picked it up, maybe they got it, but we weren't crisp, we weren't sharp. We did not look like we were in tune with what we were trying to get done.
Hit 6 of your first 8 threes, and then I think it was 2 for 16 after that. Was that something they adjusted, or was it just tired legs?
No, I think that's what I'm saying. I thought we had some decent looks for the most part. Now, I'll have to go back and look at each one of them and trying to determine if all of them were as, like I said, I thought some of them were good looks. Now, I know they contested some, but the bottom line is, you know, we weren't crisp with a lot of the things we were doing. We played poorly, and they took advantage of it.
I guess with Giannis, just what's the latest on his? Was it his eye? Did he get?
That's what we've been told is that, you know, now. Yeah, we've been told that's what it is for right now, and we'll reevaluate it.
And it just seemed like he was having a hard time getting anything going out there in terms of either finding his spots, finding his team. It's been a couple of games recently where maybe his offensive output hasn't been what it had been in the past. You know, what would you attribute that to?
I think he's still being aggressive. You know, the one thing is, for as much as he gets it into the paint and attacks, you know, we want him to stay that way. You know, getting the ball to the basket, kicking it if he draws the crowd, and you know, if he has a lane to go and try and finish it. But again, you know, he's a focal point for everybody when they play us, and so he's got to make a lot of decisions with the ball. I think teams are being physical with him. And that's about it. We'll say that.
Obviously, as you already know, the schedule doesn't, you know, let up at all, you know, for, you know, the next week or so. You know, how do you guys turn things around after this 3-game skid?
Well, I think the one thing is, we, you know, these last, the 2 games prior to this, we were in the game, had opportunities, could have won both. Tonight, I thought, like I said, we got off to a decent start. We'll have to look and see what happened, but I think in a lot of cases, you know, like I said, we weren't crisp with the ball offensively, gave up too many, you know, their field goal percentage wasn't that good. In fact, they were at 30, high 30s at halftime, and it was just the offensive rebounds that hurt us. So we got to make sure we take care of that, because if we do rebound the ball, we have opportunities to run, which would make it easier for our offense. So we've got to regroup, you know, tough back-to-back, but that having been said, we have to regroup and come back and be ready to go on Friday.
When it comes to the offensive rebounds, was there anything that were you seeing just guys were either missing box outs or just weren't putting forth the effort necessary? Just what?
Yes.
All the above?
Yes, you name it. When you come up with 22 offensive rebounds, you can. There's missed assignments, there's missed blockouts, there's, you know, the effort to go get it, you know, all of the above.
Box outs? People box out in the NBA still? I didn't realize that. Once in a while, you see a person box out. That boxing out does not happen all that much. Not nearly as much as it should. Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel tweets out, Giannis said his left eye got hit in the third quarter. His right eye got hit in the fourth quarter. Right eye definitely looked like it took more impact. He said he had some blurred vision that continued post-game when he looked down. Hopes he can sleep it off. Says he'll be fine. Well, if he's got blurred vision when he wakes up tomorrow, that is not good. That is not going to be a good thing for the Milwaukee Bucks. The last thing they need now is Giannis missing some time. Pistons over the Bucks, 110-87 coming up. We'll check in with Gary Wolfel, our basketball insider. Plus, we will also get Ryan's take on what he thinks the deal is with the Bucks. Is it this team was just tired after three games, or is there more issues than that, according to Ryan Horvath, other side of the glass? We'll find out next.
You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Now it's time to pick the ruler of the backboard. Brought to you by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, loaded with a half pound of Wisconsin cheese. It truly is the ruler of pizza.
Well, the ruler of the backboard tonight were the Detroit Pistons. They out-rebound the Bucks 57-35, but in this case, we're looking for an individual who led the team in rebounding. Eric Bledsoe, 6 rebounds, is your ruler of the backboard tonight. A close second was Sterling Brown with 5 rebounds tonight as the Bucks lose 110-87 to the Detroit Pistons. They've now lost 3 in a row. Next up, the Indiana Pacers on Friday night. We'll be back on the air with Milwaukee Bucks Pick It Safe postgame show coming up Friday night following that one. And then Sunday it's Philly and then back against Indiana on Monday. And then after that, it's Wednesday against the Rockets. Oh, goody. Oh, good. Can't wait to see how this is going to turn out. Goodness gracious. All right, 110-87 to Twitter. We go here and all kinds of stuff going on Twitter at this point. Let's see here. People are just talking with each other as this whole thing has been unraveling throughout the night. A lot of people chiming in. Trey says, same issues Kid talked about. Fans didn't like what Kid said about the team, but he was right. Young guys trying to find a way, lacking consistent energy and effort, saw that on full display tonight. And I would have to agree. Ryan, what say you?
I mean, people are going to hate to hear it, but I think they're just a young team. I mean, let's think of an NBA superstar that just immediately figured it all out and just went to the finals. Look at Michael Jordan. I mean, it took years. He had to build his body.
LeBron's probably the closest.
LeBron's the only player that I could think of. You know, yeah. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden had success pretty early, but it took them a few years. But Jordan had to get bigger. He had to get stronger to figure out.
And he needed help.
How to beat the Pistons. I think that one thing, Giannis needs to develop a jump shot to take over games in the fourth quarter. They need a true point guard, or you need a true center. I mean, I know that everybody talks about you don't need a big man anymore. In today's NBA, it's all three-point shooting, but you either need somebody that could rebound, even like a Draymond Green. I mean, he's, what, 6'8", but he could get you 10 boards.
Right.
He could block some shots. You need a rim protector, a dominant rim protector, or you need a true point guard because Bledsoe, we see it, he tries to take games over. He goes on these stretches where he looks great, but his ball handling's questionable. His court vision's questionable. And other than that, I mean, Henson might need to go, too.
Yeah, well, and again, it is what it is at this point, and you're stuck with what you have at center. And I don't see that necessarily changing anytime soon. And then when you get to the offseason, if If you want to change that position, you're going to have to make trades. That's the only way you're going to be able to change that position. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk with Gary Wolfel up next.
Now, a Bucks postgame update from fan insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
You know, Bart Winkler kind of amazes me to a certain degree. He really does. I mean, when that guy produced for the Big Show, he was a pretty negative dude. Now he hosts the morning show with Chuck, and he's just a ray of sunshine. Everything's great. It's all going to work out. Badgers. Now, again, I'm assuming, and again, you know what happens when you assume, I'm assuming he's not going to go on the air tomorrow morning and say the Badgers are going to make a miracle run to the NCAA tournament and win the Big Ten tournament. I'm assuming he's not. I know Chuck won't say that because Chuck's not on the show. I'm pretty sure Kevin Holden's not going to say that. So I'm assuming Bart Winkler also is not going to say that. It was just a tease for the promo. But, oh, man, he is one positive dude when it comes to Wisconsin sports teams, man. Not really all that negative very often. Gary Wolfel joins us now. Now, this is another guy that's very positive and happy about the Bucks all the time. People always say you're so happy about the Bucks, Gary.
I am Mr. Positive, baby.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever said that about you. Thoughts on tonight. The question tonight has been, are they just tired after playing three pretty emotional games, or is there more to it?
Well, I think it would be premature to say, you know, there's more to it after just a small sampling of games. But, you know, I mean, part of it is effort. I mean, you look at it, and their starting front line tonight had collectively 8 rebounds between Henson, Giannis, and Middleton. 8 less than Andre Drummond. And, you know, if you don't get any rebounds, you're not going to do a lot of things on the offensive end.
The other thing I want to get from you is, can you explain to me why the Bucks can't seem to get a buyout player to come here? I mean, Bellinelli and Irsine go to Philly, and then Indiana ends up with Trevor Booker, it looks like. And the Bucks get none of these guys. All of them would have helped.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of times players go with when they have a connection of sorts. And I think that's going to be one of Giannis's challenges going forward, you know, being a recruiter and being able to entice somebody good to come play with him. And, you know, whether he's able to do that, I mean, who knows? But that certainly would be nice if he could do it.
Earlier today, you had stated on, who was it, Bill Michaels' show or whatever, that Mirza Teletovic, from the sources you're being told, his career is pretty much over. Mirza Teletovic took to Twitter disagreeing with you, saying his career is not over, that he's rehabbing and is still trying to come back. Your response?
Yeah, I mean, in the last week or so, I've probably talked to a half a dozen people, and not one of them, Steve, said that they thought Mirza would ever play again, which is unfortunate. He's still going through rehab with the Bucks, and you know, they're going through the whole situation. And, you know, I mean, something crazy could happen. I mean, if, you know, maybe he is able to come back. But what he has now is very, very serious. And you obviously saw what, you know, is going on with Chris Bosh
right.
In Miami. You know, not only are the Miami Heat reluctant to let him play again, the NBA is reluctant
to
let him play.
And that's going to be a definite problem for both of them, I have a feeling, too. Gary, thanks so much for coming on, buddy.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There is Gary Wolfel on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank. Committed to providing uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935. Bucks get hammered by the Pistons tonight, 110-87. Next up are the Pacers on Friday night. Enjoy the rest of your night. Toodles!